As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This has been an exciting week for Wellington.
Hooray!
On Thursday, the judges for the Rising Star category for the Great British High Street were in town. There's Love Wellington bunting everywhere, even on our parish centre. And whatever the result of the vote, the nomination itself, I think, is encouraging for our community. It's a result of the shoots of new things beginning to happen in the town centre, with the opening of the Orbit Arts Centre, of the new shops and restaurants, the revamping of the frontages, the refurbishment of the Duke Street property by our friends down at House of Prayer. That's proceeding apace, and once that's complete, add another boost to the town. I'm not saying there aren't challenges still for Wellington as a town centre, but it feels like there's some momentum. It's good. And I'm really pleased that All Saints, this church community, have been instrumental in making that happen. You see, if we hadn't agreed to support the Orbit with financial support, it wouldn't have opened when it did. And if it hadn't opened, then quite possibly this nomination of the Rising Star wouldn't have happened because it wouldn't have been ready. That key element in the proposal wouldn't have been there. And do you know what? This is recognised by those in the community working for the regeneration of Wellington. I was going to read you an extract from an email that Nick and I received from the Love Wellington team this week. And this is someone from church. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. It's really appreciated. Can we bring the judges to the green outside the church? We're hoping that they'll be able to meet with other community groups, with the Friends of Bowring, with Walkers of Welcome in Wellington, with the Friends of Dot Hill. And secondly, we'd like to invite you both to an informal reception at the end of the judges' visit in the Market Square. We'd love to introduce you to them and explain the huge support and what a role you play in the community. Now, I'm not sharing this with you to blow my own trumpet, especially as actually most of the work on this is done by Nick, who's done a fantastic job over the last 2 years in getting to know people in the community and building up the goodwill between the town and the community and the church. But even that's not my major reason, though I am really grateful to Nick for all his hard work. But really, I share it with you so that we can celebrate together. Celebrating is one of our values. And we celebrate the impact that we at All Saints as a church are having an impact on our community. It's good. And actually, as a result of this, the directors at the Orbit, they've written to Nick and they've asked All Saints if we could set up and run a drop-in for youngsters and parents, probably on a Monday or a Tuesday morning in the Orbit. And we're exploring with them what this might look like, how we can resource it in a way which doesn't compete with our existing toddlers ministry, but builds on it and complements it so that we can reach out even further to the community with our successful toddlers ministry. This is good stuff. And at the same meeting that the PCC agreed to support the Orbit project financially, we also made the decision to support two other projects with capital investment. One of those was the organ restoration project. And the other was the staffing, our current levels of staffing, particularly in the area of children's and families work. And do you know what? I remember in the lead up to that PCC meeting, I was praying and I was thinking about what the best way to use that legacy that had been left to us, what the best way to use that capital was. And we'd been left a significant amount of money, but it wasn't enough to do all that we wanted to do completely. And it was almost like the sense that the different ideas, they were in competition with each other. And in conversation with a few people that week, I came to see it in a different way. I came to believe that God had given us enough through that legacy to make a really good start in those different areas. And then God was waiting to see how we dealt with each other in the situation when we didn't quite have enough. Would we turn on each other and tear each other apart, trying to win the money for the project that was closest to our own hearts? Or would we trust that the God who had provided so far, would we trust that God would provide the rest as we stepped out in faith and supported each other wholeheartedly in the different projects that were before us? When Paul was writing to the Christians in Rome, he was writing to a church that had the potential to be very divided. It included Jews and Gentiles, Romans and Greeks, empires and religious ideas that had been in conflict for centuries. There were slaves, there were freed slaves, there were slave owners, all in the same church. The possibility of things to divide them were almost endless. So in his letter, Paul says that he prays that his readers may have the same mind to each other that Christ Jesus had. And why? So that with one mind and one voice, they may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if Paul's asking them to have the same mind as Christ Jesus, what does that mean? What was the mind of Christ Jesus? It's there in verses 2 and 3. We should all please our neighbour for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself. And it's teaching of scriptures like this that led us to include that value of loving each other in our core values as a church. And so, as I look back on that PCC meeting, I'm so glad that we put that value into practice. We took the principles that Paul insists on to heart, and that we decided that we would step out and commit finance to all those three areas of church life. And as well as the orbit making good progress, I'm glad to say that the organ restoration project is also making good progress. We've had significant amounts of money committed by folk from the congregation and from the community. The process of applying for grants is beginning. And there is still some way to go on the financial side. And I'm sure the organ project team would lynch me if I didn't say to you, if you haven't committed finance to it yet and you would like to, that is still an option. The leaflets are at the back. Pray about it. And I'm really grateful to that project team for what they're doing to drive this forward. Actually, what I'm particularly excited about is that I can see the links between Love Wellington and the church being strengthened by the possibilities for concert and other art events that a refurbished organ might enable. We've got an arts centre just over there. We've got an arts project here. We've got music as a common theme. What could be possible? The vision of a community resource that draws people into the building and into the worshipping community, which provides a breadth of musical tradition in our worship, is, I think, an exciting one. Not only are the orbit and organ projects not in competition, but it turns out that they're building on each other and opening up opportunities for each other as they develop. This is surely God at work as we encourage and build each other up. That area of church life, the other area of church life we committed to apply some of our capital to financing the work, was with our young people and families. This morning, we've commissioned folk in our church family who work with young people. And we met to meet the term on Monday night. We were really encouraged by, we had lists of all the young people, and we were working out which groups they were going to be in. It was so encouraging to see so many names on these lists. The noise and the life, it's all gone a bit quiet since they went to groups, you noticed. Which is good, you can listen to me, that's always good. But the joy of having young people in our church family here with us. That's the fruit of this ministry and the decisions that have been made over the years to invest into it. I'm really glad that Claire's going to be joining us on the team. We had interviews for a youth and children's worker this week as well, and we didn't appoint there, so I'm a bit disappointed about that, working out what God's saying to us on that. So please do continue praying about that. But it's so exciting to have all these young people with us. There are a couple of challenges. When Nick shared with us the age ranges that the groups cover, as he was directing them where to go to, you'll have noticed they're quite wide. Our younger group particularly goes all the way from reception through to year five. That's quite wide, really, and there's a lot of them. In an ideal world, we'd be able to have two groups there. But at the moment, we just don't have enough people to lead those groups. We need probably five or six more to make that feasible. So again, something for you to pray about, particularly actually if you're male. We're short of men who are working with our young people to give them good role models of what it means to live out a Christian faith as a man. So pray about that and act on it if God is calling you to it. And actually, we don't have enough ongoing finance to continue the staffing levels we have beyond the next 2 or 3 years. Again, if God's calling you to think about your giving to that, then do that. What's this all about? What's it all for? We believe as a church that we are called to be closer to Christ and sent to be closer to others. And part of our vision is for us to be a church that is open to the riches of heaven pouring in and through us, shining out in the community. It seems to me that in our work with our youngsters, with the organ restoration, with the orbit, we're seeing this vision become a reality. We'll be being given opportunities to practice in a new way that commission to get closer to others. And why do we do that? What's the purpose of it all? Well, it's as Paul says in his letter to his friends in Corinth. Is that the second reading? Yes, which order did we read them in? Yes, Romans, then Corinthians. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And Paul said this in the context of being really flexible in how he approached people with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus. He says, like a Jew to the Jews, like a Gentile to the Gentiles, like someone who is weak to the weak. And this isn't about Paul pretending to be something he's not. Paul, as we get from his letters, is absolutely clear about what he believes and about who he is. But it is about meeting people where they are at. Starting with them at their starting place. Getting to know them in their context. Getting to know their concerns and sharing their lives. It's about doing things differently for the sake of others. And I'm sure that there'll be some of that for us as we are sent to others, as we continue to engage with the opportunities that are coming through these projects, through these different areas of church life. Our core identity, it remains the same. Our vision and our values, they remain the same. We are Christ-focused. But we have to be flexible so that we can make the most of the opportunities to share the gospel and see people come into the fullness of its blessings. Now, as Nick's mentioned already, through this term we're going to have quite a few opportunities to explore mission, what it means to be sent. And some of those will be for us as individuals, some of us it will be for us as a whole church together. We're going to have some teaching in the Sunday morning sermon series. There's small group material available that's been sent out to the small group leaders. So have a look at it in your small groups. Nag your small group leader. And if small group leaders are sitting there thinking, oh, I haven't had it, then nag me because I thought I'd sent it. Really encourage you to make space this term, to have a look at it, to work through it together. Nick's mentioned this day on Saturday, October the 5th, Church Mission Society, an organisation that has centuries now of experience, what it means to be sent into different contexts, coming to train us. But this is not just for the keenies. Did you hear that? This is not just for the keenies. This is for everybody. That means you. Come along. Be open to what God is calling you to step out as you're sent to others. And if you really can't come for the whole day, then you can come for a morning session or an afternoon session. You will benefit from that. If you come for the whole day, that's even better. You might want to come as a small group and work together and think, okay, what could we do as a small group to reach out to people? You might want to come with a group of friends. You all do the same kind of thing. You see, I truly believe that as we pursue God's vision for this church, as we work together, as we build each other up, as we prefer each other, so we will see God pour out more and more on us. As we can demonstrate that we can be trusted with what we're given. And we will see fruit in places that we never thought we would, as we do all for the sake of the gospel. Amen.